Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. I was thinking today, I went to my local film store, my local camera store, Dot Dotson's here in Eugene, and I dropped off a roll of Ektar film, this 100-speed Ektar film that I'm recently finished, I guess kind of sometime in June here. I finished the roll while I was shooting a Nikon N80 camera with a 50 millimeter lens. I just dropped it off to get it developed, but I don't do the scanning anymore. I kind of got tired of that. I wanted to shift over to a more modern digital system, but I like shooting film. I dropped it off at Dot Dotson's. They do sort of a 24-hour-ish return time, which is great. It's fantastic. But I said, well, hey, do the develop only. I don't need the prints, but I do want a digital version. So do a CD, print up the CD for me. But now optical media is so rare. I don't have a CD drive. I don't have a CD drive in the house. I have a computer over here set aside, or an old desktop computer, one that's kind of in the closet. I'm going to pull it out, plug it in just so I can put the CD in it, get those photos off, put them on a thumb drive, and then transfer them over to my computer. So kind of one of those funny things where you think you're in a system and then part of the system starts to get antiquated and made obsolescent. And now we're in a place just a few years after the millennium where optical disk drives, all of that stuff, all those trillions of dollars, I'm sure, that were invested in creating this technology of optical discs has now become obsolete and kind of turned into something you can hardly use. So kind of a funny system how that works out. But have a CD right now and a set of negatives of some really cool photos that I've taken between kind of like March, April, May of this year that I shot on film. So excited to put those up here soon.
You can see more of my work at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
Today, I'm talking about a couple of the photographs that are going up online. And, yesterday, way successful. Got a bunch of content stuff done yesterday, but edited a bunch of photographs. Tried to cut on a couple videos, but that only goes so fast. But I think I got a photo or a podcast wrapped up. I got a video made. I got a photo edited and posted and stuff. So, I don't know. I dig it when I'm kind of jumping in and getting all the pieces together each day. That's kind of cool. I'm messing around with Anchor a little bit. I don't know how long lasted that'll be, but at least in an effort to promote this podcast. So if anyone had actually, which I doubt, if anyone had ever followed a link over from Anchor to check out this podcast, let me know sometimes. But it's one of those kind of budding, well, I don't know what budding means when it's not 2007 anymore, but it's one of those budding social networks that has a handful of people that work on it or that follow it. But I'm not really sure how successful overall it is. It's sort of like an Instagram app, but if the post you make was an audio post or like a podcast, like really just like me talking right now, I think it's about the same thing. So something sort of similar to that, and because it's sort of like this podcasting stuff, that's why I've been getting into it. But trying to do a little audio update post over there each day. I think you can check that out. And I don't know, it's okay, but trying to talk about some photo stuff over there also. Today I'm in my truck and I'm working on a bunch of stuff on my laptop. I'm trying to edit this photograph. One of them is of like our camp, or when we're getting ready to go on our backpacking trip, and one of them is kind of the layout of a bunch of the gears. We're trying to pack it and get it ready that morning, which is always like a really tough part of the backpacking trip. I don't know how much backpacking you guys do, but especially when you're kind of transitioning from two states, one of them being car camping, where you're sort of loaded out for an extended period of time with more heavy equipment that you're kind of loading and carrying around. So you kind of pack for the car, but then you sort of change out when you go backpacking. If you're car camping a couple of days and then jumping out and going backpacking, you sort of have to reassess and then sort of repack everything that you would need to get through a backpacking trip. And it's time consuming, when you have to kind of do that swap over. But anytime you're packing for the backpacking trip stuff, it's kind of, I don't know if it's frustrating, but it's a little bit about do I take this? Do I not take this? Is it just going to be weight on my back that I carry, that I end up using or participating with, this item or this thing for just 1% of my time there, you know, and sometimes even still on short trips, that definitely happens, especially on short trips, short backpacking trips, like overnight trips, 2-day trips. I would really recommend you put everything you want to carry in a plastic sack, you know, like something that's like a gallon big. But I swear, if it's one day, if it's one overnight trip, you should eat before you go. Maybe people ate hiking like that. I don't know if I want to eat a ton of food, but you should leave so that you don't need to eat right away. You should hang out, you know, have a meal ready, and then have a power bar on the next day or the way back or something like that. But, and, you know, some spare food and whatnot. But a lot of spare stuff, a lot of extra stuff, a lot of delicacy stuff. It's tough when you're backpacking, but you always want to do it until you start hiking the weight of it. Then you want to ditch it. Then you want to throw it out the window or, you know, off the trail, right?
You can check out more information at billynewmanphoto.com. You can go to billynewmanphoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at billynewmanphoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it. If you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon, that's patreon.com/billynewmanphoto.
I'm looking into like hard drives right now. I'm trying to find something, but I don't know if I really need the collaborative accessibility that is provided by cloud storage so much. I think I need like fast hard drives, fast data storage and stuff, so I can kind of move things around. That seems to be more useful for me than the big cloud. I'm looking at a 8 terabyte and 10 terabyte Seagate hard drive right now. A couple other brands. I was looking at like the G drives and those cooler like aluminum metal cases. I was looking at other Lacy drives. I bought Lacy stuff in the past. But I'm looking for a bigger desktop drive. I have a couple like smaller portable drives that are great with the laptop when you're moving around, and that's worked really functionally the last couple of years. But I am looking for something that really probably what I actually want is a NAS or, you know, some network attached storage device. I've been interested in those for a long time. They're kind of expensive to get into. It's, you know, almost like buying a desktop computer when you load it up with big hard drives and you have to buy an enclosure, and it's a big project just all as that as it is. So really, picking up 8 terabytes or 10 terabytes for $200 seems like it would solve my problem for the time being. But that's what I thought 5 years ago when I bought a 4 terabyte hard drive, and I thought that would solve my problems. And now I have 4 filled up 4 terabyte hard drives. Well, 1, 2, those are both 4. That one's a 2. Those are both 1s. So they're all full, that's for sure. I need a bigger amount of space to kind of do the data management stuff that I have in the background. The tough thing is like, so you have 4 terabytes. Wow, that sounds like a lot, way more than I would have ever thought in the past. Oh man, think about 20 years from now, the data we're going to be talking about. We're talking about AR files or, you know, photogrammetry projects or something. It's going to be insane data. 4 terabytes, I got to back that up somewhere, right? So I need a second 4 terabyte hard drive to have all that duplicated over to. So now I have 2 full 4 terabyte hard drives, which is kind of the problem that, you know, I seem to run into. I'm going to get this 8 terabyte hard drive, and then I'm going to need a second one to back it up to. So the idea is that it's really just going to be this one big tank drive that's going to be the archive area for all this stuff to go get backed up to. And then we're going to have the smaller, you know, 4 terabyte hard drives that are maybe a little faster. I've been doing Blackmagic speed tests on them, though, and they are not that fast. They're like 100 megabits a second. I'll get into that a second. But trying to get the 4 terabyte hard drives I have right now to be more active, like for video projects or for the photo libraries or something like that. Maybe I can break it out and have that run a little bit more stably on some of those. But the interesting thing, the thing I was going to mention, is that these drives are USB 3, right? Oh, wow, USB 3, that's fast. Hey, maybe soon they're going to be Thunderbolt 3 or the USB 3.1 USB-C connector. That'll be great. That'll be what? What is that, 10 or 20 gigabytes a second? Incredible speeds. Wow, that'll be awesome. Or USB 3, what, that's 5 gigabits a second? Gigabytes a second? Slipping. No. Mm-mm. These slow hard drives are what the weakest link in the chain is. So you're sort of throttled back to the speed that the drive can write to. So these 7,200 RPM drives, these spinning disk drives, which used to be kind of state-of-the-art video drives 10 years ago, are now kind of considered really slow. They are really slow. Their data write speeds are somewhere around 100 megabytes a second, which is below half of what was advertised for the even USB 2 speeds of 250 megabits a second. Megabytes a second. Okay, so what, we're running 100 megabytes a second on a USB 3 4 terabyte hard drive. It's good, it's cool, it's I think better than the USB 2 connection does. So it's faster than a USB 2 cable. Happy to have USB 3, but wow, that is like not the same kind of performance at all. So that's really where you're going to see the performance increase when you go to an SSD hard drive. So I was trying to consider that about, you know, any like future stuff. I was thinking about like getting like a pro desktop computer and trying to build out some stuff, like I was saying, a network storage device or I don't know, other stuff that I could use. But I was thinking about, oh, okay, so for performance with like a higher end computer, you're really going to get slower speeds with that. But you would get really fast speeds if you had an SSD or if you had, you know, the right type of enclosure that was built to work with it really quickly. So that's kind of been crossing my mind too for future proofing what I'm up to for the 2020s as we're getting into it. I really think though, most logically the answer was probably get the reasonably priced 8 terabyte drive now, wait some years into the future and then pick up some multi-terabyte solid state drive of the future that can transmit things at faster speeds. I'm sure we'll get there sooner than later. Well, thanks a lot for listening to me kind of ramble about computers that I've installed onto my laptop. That's pretty interesting, right? But all of that is in service of the greater goal of trying to get some photo stuff put together, which has been going pretty well. I've been going through a bunch of images in the catalog, and I'm trying to get together. I think I've been trying to talk about it in so many ways a few times, but I'm trying to get together a couple sets of portfolios sort of structured under, like, let's say easily landscape, commercial shoots, portrait shoots, wedding shoots, something like that. And so there's a kind of a collection of each, so I can have, so if people are to look at those photos, they'll sort of see, oh yeah, there's these and there's this and then there's that. So that's kind of the plan, which is close to coming together. Pretty fun. And other than that, I'm getting into video stuff. I've been editing a lot more in Final Cut. I've got the big monitor up. I've got the Wacom tablet out. I'm trying to go through and get used to using the pen. It's probably easier to do that in Photoshop or Illustrator or something like that, to get used to the pen. But in Final Cut's a cool tool also. You get to kind of, you know, flow the pen back and forth. As using a tablet, it's a faster way of working than with a mouse in some ways, or it's sometimes a little more accurate, but it really is a bit of a learning curve in some ways, so I'm trying to tighten it up. It's coming together.
Thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. Hope you guys check out some stuff on billynewmanphoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts, all pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at billynewmanphoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.